You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network and The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
Conversation Podcast. My name is Adam. I am excited, overjoyed, overwhelmed in the best way possible that you are listening in, that you are tuning in today. I wish I somehow had the ability just to sit with you right now and just ask you the basic question, how are you doing today? Like, how are you doing right now? I know for myself, it feels like the moment I get up in the morning, I got kids I'm trying to wrestle. There's things that I need to remember to bring to the office. I'm thinking about my agenda for the day, and oh, by the way, I should probably eat before I leave the house. It feels like the moment I get up, I don't have like 2 seconds just to process like how I'm actually doing it. So I want to ask you that question, how are you doing? And then regardless of your answer, maybe you're excited and you're just thrilled about the week ahead. Maybe you're worried about like a list of specific things. Maybe you're just overwhelmed. Maybe you're tired. This morning, honestly, I woke up and I was just a little bit tired. Regardless of where you are, though, I want to ask you that question. And then your answer, I just want to tell you just to process that for even a minute with God. Just tell him, hey, God, I'm excited about this, this, and this. Or, hey, God, I'm tired. I feel like I'm being pulled in 17 different directions. Or, hey, God, I'm hurting. I'm grieving. I'm just whatever it is, just take a second just to tell God how you're feeling. Maybe even push pause right now on the podcast and just spend a minute or two just telling God how you're doing right now. Again, I just wish I somehow had the ability just to sit with you right now on your treadmill, lay next to bed by you. That might be weird. Or ride in the car with you, whatever. The bed thing, that might be really, really strange. So don't do that part. But I just wish I had the ability just to sit with you and remind you that you are a human being. And so again, I'm excited that you're tuning in. I have one quick thing to share before we get to today's episode. As of this week, I'm releasing a brand new online devotional. It's just a 7-day email devotional that's free that you can sign up. The devotional is called Go Do Something. If you're interested in signing up, you can go to Adam Weber, that's Weber with one B, adamweber.com/do something. I'll have it in the show notes as well. There'll be the link there, but it's a devotional that will challenge you to do something. It'll challenge you to act. My assistant, Rachel, she said by far this was her favorite devotional I've done so far. I know it is going to be a challenging devotional to follow through with, and I'm excited about the stories that will come from this. And so if you're looking for something to do the next 7 days, again, adamweber.com/do something, please tell me how it goes for you, because this was a fun devotional to put together. So there's that quick thing. Today's episode, though, I sat down with a new friend of mine named Chris Margos, and man, Chris is the man. He is absolutely just one of the coolest cats, one of the manliest men that I know. He played 8 seasons in the NFL. He's a 2-time Super Bowl champ. He was with the Niners, the Seahawks, the Eagles. Him and Nick Foles does a podcast together that you should subscribe to. It's called the Mission of Truth Podcast. They interview different NFL athletes and coaches. It's a podcast that I personally listen to. And I thought, geez, what better time to have Chris's episode than the week that the NFL starts. Thank God for the NFL returning. It's a little weird without fans in the crowd, but needless to say, I'm just excited that it's back. Even though the Bengals somehow lost their game week 1, they somehow missed like a 30-yard field goal. I'm not bitter about it. I'm moving ahead. Jesus is on the throne, and so I'm not going to worry about the losses. They're going to go undefeated the rest of the season. But anyways, I'm super excited for you to hear Chris. As always, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation.
And are you okay like going to it'd be like 30 minutes from now?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Are you sure? Okay. I really want to be respectful of your time. So we're recording and I'll get going. I'm sitting here with 2-time Super Bowl champ. That's a pretty rad thing to have on your resume. A 9-year veteran in the NFL. Much more important than that, he's a husband, he's a dad, he's a follower of Jesus. Chris, I'm so honored to have you on the podcast and sit down with you today.
Adam, it's great, man. It's good to have me on, man. Thank you. It's an honor.
So away from the good haircut like that you got, I wish I had more in common with you. You're jacked.
We got to share those head tips, man. You know?
Exactly. Before we push record, we were asking each other how we shaved our head and buzzed our head, and he told me what shaving cream he even uses.
Oh, yeah. So, hey, look, anybody else who's got the low and even haircut like us, man, you gotta share the tips and all those things, man, because we share the same struggle. Man,
it's some random weird connection that you have.
Oh, it's awesome, isn't it? You're like bond, right? You see another guy too walking down the street, and you're like, you, me, like, all right, man, we can connect here for sure.
I've always I don't have a motorcycle. I'm more of an old car guy. But the one thing I'm always jealous of the motorcycle guys is they always have that connection. They like drop their arm when they drive.
Oh yeah, time, right? Yeah.
Bald headed guys are the same exact way. We should just like drop.
That's right, man. Exactly. Oh, I hear you on that.
Terrible. No. So Chris, if you just want to share your story, kind of start, if you would, like even hometown, what your parents did, how football came into it, just kind of ready, set, go.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Racine, Wisconsin, small town out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, just south of that. And I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a Bible believing home. I had great, phenomenal parents. I have a brother who's actually a pastor. But for me, you know, as I started, you know, realizing at a young age that sports was kind of my everything, I realized pretty quickly that there was something kind of quite missing, though.
And yeah.
As I kept growing up, football actually gave me a lot of my sources of substance. It gave me a lot of who I was, a lot of my identity. It really gave me my validity as a person and really, you know, gave me the opportunity to feel loved, you know, because when I started playing football in second grade, I didn't lose a game all the way up until I got to high school. We were like 8-time champions. We never lost a game, and football was everything to me. It was like, why wouldn't this go well? It's not, we're not losing. I'm never feeling the hurt of anything else, but greatness and love from it. So, you know, I started excelling at sports, you know, really when I was, you know, probably I started realizing when I was probably about 12, 13, that I really had maybe a gift that I could really use. And that gift really started to consume me. And as I started getting into high school and I started realizing that something was missing in my life, I would just try to work harder, or I'd try to find more of my identity in sports. And I would try to find it in my friends as I got older. And I would try to find it a lot in who I was, you know, as a person, as a family, or whatever it was. And I remember I got to high school and stuff just wasn't fulfilling me like it used to in the past. And as that one thing in my heart that didn't fulfill me would fade away, I would look for something bigger and better to then try to fulfill that. So I started using drugs. I started selling drugs. I started hanging out with the bad crowd, got in a lot of really bad trouble. I was, you know, demolishing people's houses and, you know, doing a lot of things that I was getting in trouble from. And it really got to a point where no matter what I tried, the more and the deeper I went, the more of a downward spiral my life was going until I really hit rock bottom when I was a sophomore in high school. And I got almost expelled from our school district and suspended football games and different things like that. And I remember I had a guy, Wayne Bilgard, who's been my lifetime mentor and the guy who led me to Christ. And he's like, look, man, you're trying to find satisfaction in everything other than what God has intended in your life. And you're using the things that God has given you as blessings, and you're trying to find everything and you're all in that, and it's going to fail you. Yeah. And up until that point, that really was what resonated me. And I grew up in church my whole life. And that's really when the veil was lifted in my life.
Wow. Crazy. So parents throughout this, what are your parents thinking when they find out what you're doing? Because that they had to have found out then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Realized I was doing drugs and selling drugs, you know, like, oh, my gosh, you know, like, you know, vandalizing people's homes. And stuff.
Yeah.
My parents had been known around the community as solid Christians. They were members of our church and really involved and plugged. And my brother and I, we had gone to church every week and Wednesday nights and all that kind of stuff. And so, of course, they were devastated, but they understood that the Lord was going to have to get a hold of my heart. And they were hurt by the fact that probably more so than anything that we would know better, those types of things. But I think for me personally, it was just the fact that my flesh was going to seek what I wanted and I was going to do what it was that was going to fulfill me. Even in my mind, if I knew what was right, I didn't really have it in my heart until Christ changed me. And
yeah,
and, you know, my mentor always tells me, when he said, there's 18 inches between heaven and hell. You can know everything you want about Jesus, but unless that really goes to your heart and you have a heart transformation,
oh man,
it doesn't really matter. And that's really what happened to me. I took that knowledge and all those things that I had learned in my life that were just stories or things that I had heard that weren't really real to me. And those really became things that were in my heart of substance. And that's when like the veil was just lifted and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I have joy and I have peace and I have purpose. And all of a sudden I wanted to read the Bible and I wanted to go to church. And then I'm listening to the pastor and the things are actually like soaking into my life. And I'm like,
yeah.
Man, and I remember thinking, man, why weren't they preaching like this for the first 15 years of my life? You know? Well, I had deaf ears and I had a hardened heart and the Lord hadn't softened my heart yet to receive those things. And I can just remember a hunger for the Lord. And then really the hunger came toward, you know, man, there's so many people I know that don't have this and that were lost and that are seeking just like me. And it's kind of crazy because the Lord kind of gave me those feelings and those moments in my life, even as I got older, because by God's grace, he allowed me to excel at football and track and field. And instead of those things becoming my source and my substance, they became blessings and an opportunity to you know, use those for his glory and to honor him rather than honor myself. And when that flip changed, man, I could start using my sport and I would be so much more free knowing that, man, I have a gift that God's given me and I can use that to honor him and I can use that as a blessing, as something that gives me so much excitement and the ability to do so many great things with, rather than it just ending with me for my own glory. And it would start and end with me up until that point in my whole life. But now the sport and the ability that he's given me can now be used for so much more greater than just starting and ending with myself. And so it's been pretty cool, the transformation. And even as I got into my career in college and the NFL and all that kind of stuff, you know, I was really able to understand, you know, putting, and I didn't do it right all the time, believe me, and I still don't do it right now.
Yeah.
But really trying to understand putting the blessings that God's given me in the right context.
No, that's so good. Chris, after that time, was it it sounds like it was a pretty immediate 180 change for you. Did you, at that point, like throughout high school and then kind of shift into college, were you fairly vocal about your faith? Was that a scary thing? Were you quiet? I know for me, I came to Christ and I had Christian friends and non-Christian friends. The high school I went to, there just was really no talk of Jesus at all. And so I went to a church in a different town. And so I kind of lived dual life until I got to college. I felt like then I was like, okay, God, I'm tired of having two different things. I'm miserable in both places, you know, like, and so like that was for me really when I began to be more vocal about telling people about Jesus. Was that something kind of right out of the gate you were fairly vocal, or was that kind of slowly? What's that look like for you, even kind of initially?
Yeah, totally, man. That's a great question, Adam. You know, honestly, initially I was so fired up and I had such a like passion and zeal, and that was just the way God made me. I don't know why, but I'm just a little bit of a fiery guy. And I just wanted to tell people because I couldn't hold it in. And of course, throughout my life, and there still is the fear of man, you know,
you're
worried about what people are going to say or if they're going to receive you. And the one thing that I'm always trying to hold on to is, you know, I think about like, all right, like in my previous days, whether I've been intoxicated or whatever before, whatever. It's like when I'm under the influence of alcohol or whatever it was, right?
Yep.
Before all this, you know, I was talking to girls that were way out of my league, right? Like, I'm picking a fight with a guy that is way bigger than me. I'm doing stuff that's out of my mind, right? Like that just doesn't make sense. And the Bible talks about being led and being consumed by the Spirit, right? And when I'm consumed by the Spirit, I'm doing things I normally don't do. I'm talking to people about Jesus.
It's so good.
I have a compassion and a heart for people that I normally don't have a heart for in my flesh. I have the ability to give and be generous in ways that are not normal for me as a person in my own right, only if the Spirit's leading me and if I'm consumed by the Spirit to do things that naturally I wouldn't do. And so in the same way as I realized, like, man, when the Holy Spirit hit me, I'm like, man, I'm doing things I normally wouldn't do, or I'm talking to I wouldn't even know what to talk about, right? Like, similarly to my old life when I was doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. But the thing was, is that I knew pretty early on, and again, not always led by the Spirit. And I'm so sinful still, and I need God's grace every single day. And if you really ask my wife, she'll tell you that for sure. You know? Because she knows me better than any of you. But, man, when I'm led by the Spirit and I'm really giving Lord the control and consuming me in my life, you know, I'm having those conversations to tell people. And I think that's really what it was, is, man, the Lord had saved me from so much junk and muck in my life that I wanted other people to know. And I thought to myself, you know what? If a friend of mine loved me so much and really cared about me, but he didn't share what was super, the most important thing in his life with me, man, he probably didn't love me that much.
Yeah.
Me, I had to get over the fact that, man, if I truly love the people around me so much, you know what? I might offend them, but you know what? I love them so much that I'm going to tell them the most important thing in my life. I think they need to understand that I do love them that much. And that's why I would even share that with them. And whether they receive it or not, hey, you know, that's between them and the Lord, because we're just supposed to plant seeds and the Lord waters and grows them. But man, for me, I just wanted to tell people there's something greater because I experienced both sides of it.
Yeah, no, that's so good. Kind of back to the football end of things. So out of high school, had you had anybody that went to the pros from your high school?
So we had a guy that had played just a little bit, a couple of years, but not really all that much from my high school. No, not much.
So you went into college and didn't go to the U of W right away.
Right.
Like thoughts on even making it to Division I? Did that feel like a pipe dream? Or share kind of football wise now from high school to not getting drafted to making a team.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how the Lord was leading me. So I had a really great community at my first high school, Washington Park High School. And then my senior year, I actually transferred to the Crosstown Rival because I wanted to get recruiting attention. And so we had a running back that was 2 years younger than me that was getting recruited by Wisconsin, Ohio State, all the big running back, Iowa, everywhere.
Yeah.
And I knew at playing wide receiver that I needed to put up big stats. So I transfer Crosstown Rivals, and I had a really good, really good start to the year. And our quarterback broke his collarbone. His name was Justin Kamler. And my stats went way down, and so did all my recruiting attention. Because at the end of the day, not too many people were coming into Wisconsin for a 5'10 white guy. I mean, that's just it. it wasn't necessarily fit the mold, really. You know? And so I had one opportunity to walk on at Western Michigan University. And at the time, there was a guy by the name of Greg Jennings, anybody who's a Packers fan.
Oh, yeah.
All-pro receiver.
Yeah.
With Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and those guys.
Yeah.
And he was a believer, and his dad was a pastor in the hometown of a college. And I thought, you know what? I just really felt like the Lord was leading me there and just opening some doors to those things. I could learn underneath him and have the opportunity to play at the highest level and all that. And so I took the opportunity to go to Western Michigan as the one Division I school to give me a walk-on spot. And I was going at the Lord's leading. And
man,
there and yeah, it was always a dream to go there and to play at the highest level. And the Lord just kind of really, you know, busted it open from there.
Crazy. So college-wise, you're going through college. Feeling like, did you still have your sets on the NFL? Like, when did that begin to feel like a reality?
Man, no way, bro. I mean, I didn't get a scholarship until my fifth year in college. So my senior year in college, I finally got a scholarship, which was crazy. But I played 2 years at Western Michigan, and the coach told me that if I was a starter or a major contributor in the two deep, that they put me on scholarship. And so I was starting, worked my way up in the first year, after the first year, becoming a starter. And I started pretty much virtually every game my freshman year. And I went back and talked to him, and I just said, hey, you know, we had talked a couple years back. This is kind of the agreement. And he kind of reneged on the deal and kind of had all these other loopholes and all this. And I said, you know what? That was a defining moment in my life, because I knew that I needed to play and be around people that were people of integrity and that people that I could trust. And I went back and talked to my parents and prayed about it, and felt like at the time it was kind of, you know, not really what I needed to be. And the crazy thing was, is I was dating my wife, or my girlfriend, who was my wife now. And when I went back in, he goes, oh, well, if you stay, you know, there's a scholarship earmarked for you and this and that. And he's like, you know, offered me a scholarship. I'm like, look, man, like, I'm not playing this game back and forth. Yeah. You tell me what it was and here's what it is. And I don't trust you anymore. And
yeah. Yeah.
Somebody I don't trust. And so I left and I was going to transfer down to a Division II school, but it just so happened to be that my brother was at the University of Wisconsin. He was the mascot, Bucky Badger, which is crazy. And yeah, unbelievable. Right? And so he was a part of Campus Crusade for Christ on campus.
Oh, yeah.
He got to know a really good friend by the name of Luke Swan, who was from Fenimore, Wisconsin, Western Wisconsin. And he was a walk-on at the Wisconsin Badgers program. And now it just so happens, 4 or 5 years later, he's now the best player on the team, the walk-on turned scholarship player, and now he's the solid Christian guy. So my brother reaches out to him and says, hey, my brother's looking to transfer. Would you mind just talking with him? So I reach out via Facebook, and he takes my film. I send it to his college dorm or his apartment or whatever it was, and he watches it, loves it. He takes it to the starting quarterback. He loves it. Next thing I know, my tape's getting up to Brett Bielema, the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers, who was a former walk-on at Iowa. And Brett Bielema calls me, and he's like, look, man, I want to sit down and talk to you. I want you to come be a part of the team. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, what the heck?
What?
And I'm from Wisconsin. Every kid's dream is to play for the Badgers.
I mean, yes.
So talk about unlikely circumstances. I sit down with him. He's like, I want you to come here and play. So I walk on to the Wisconsin program out of some miraculous thing. I switched to defense my junior year in college. And by God's grace, ended up becoming a team captain, a starting safety, an all Big Ten selection. My senior year, got a scholarship. And all of a sudden, the NFL comes knocking. It was crazy, bro. It was unbelievable.
That's legitimately insane.
Oh yeah, what a wild story. Even when I talk about it now, I'm like, did that really happen? Did it really happen that way? Because it sounds really far-fetched.
I mean, at that point, there's a very slim chance you make that transfer to the other school.
Yep.
Exactly. That you see any potential. It can happen. I mean, there's the CJ Hams of the world that come out of a D2 school.
Right.
But I mean, just even falls even lower. So you have the success at Wisconsin. Do you think you're getting drafted? Like, what does that look like?
When I went to Wisconsin, I remember the pride and tradition. So growing up in Little League, we would play Saturday morning games and then we'd drive up to Madison where the college is and we'd watch the games. My parents had season tickets. For the life of me, I was watching guys like Jason Doering and Jim Leonard and all these great players play. And it was the dream to play for the Badgers. And so, you know, I remember my senior year, all of a sudden I'm playing for the Badgers and scouts are coming along. All these NFL teams are coming through and they're kind of watching me go around. And then I'm talking to my head coach. He's like, yeah, well, you're one of the four guys they're kind of watching and they're on our sidelines of games. And I'm going, what is happening? And I think I started the first two or three games of the year with like two or three interceptions, something like that. And yeah, it just went really well, like to start. So all these teams, you know, there wasn't a lot of film or really a lot of knowledge on me. So all these teams are coming in trying to figure out who I was. And I ended up having a really good senior season. And all of a sudden agents are calling me and they're start saying, hey, you know, like, you know, you got a legit shot to play in the NFL now and teams are really interested. And I'm going, what in the world is happening? You know? And I didn't get an invite to the combine, but I had a really good pro day. And after that pro day, they started saying, man, my agent's going, dude, you might be drafted in the 5th to 7th round, kind of later rounds because of kind of who you are. And that's really the first time where I started going, dude, this could happen possibly.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now a message from a network supporter.
I want to jump in really quick to tell you about an online parenting event that you or someone you know definitely won't want to miss. We're living in some strange and difficult days right now, wouldn't you say? And I think it's safe to say that all parents feel the pressure to lead their homes well, especially now. Wouldn't it be nice to feel the freedom to check that perfectionism at the door and become a perfectly imperfect parent that God called you to be? It's time to sign up today for the Perfectly Imperfect Christian Parenting Event that will be held on October 23rd through 24th. This is a completely digital event that was designed to give parents the practical and spiritual help needed to grow as leaders in the home. And it's in an easy, accessible digital form With more than 40 available talks, you'll hear from amazing speakers like Aaron and Jamie Ivey, Mark Batterson, Jonathan Pitts, Nicole Sosowski, and the Duck Dynasty Robertson family, and so many more. Tickets are only $49, and we invite you or a parent that you love to register today for this digital Christian parenting event. Visit perfectlyimperfect.org to sign up today. Okay, let's get back to today's show.
So you end up going, you went to the Niners at first, right?
That's right.
If you just want to kind of share this high level, like where you were at over the 9 years, share that part of things.
So rookie season and the first in my second year training camp was with the 49ers, and then three seasons with the Seattle Seahawks. And then I was an unrestricted free agent. So my rookie contract had expired and I was no longer under contract. So I was an unrestricted free agent. Yep. And then I chose to go to Philadelphia, and then I was in Philadelphia for 5 years. So Nine seasons total.
Crazy. It was kind of cool to see. Again, I told you this before we recorded. I went and stalked you a little bit online. It was even kind of cool to see, I believe it was on Twitter, people giving you shout outs as you were transitioning out of the NFL. That was pretty rad just to see that. As you're playing, one thing you mentioned before is, I mean, you had the chance to be on two Super Bowl teams and yet kind of saw other people who maybe didn't have Christ kind of have that high and not have it deliver what they expected. Yeah. And do you want to share that part of things? I mean, for myself, you know, I played high school ball as the highest level I got, and I can't, you know, just the dream of every kid. I used to set up cushions in my basement. I'd watch Monday Night Football, and then I'd set the play up and we're using cushions, and it was a one man game.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know who doesn't dream about being in the NFL, but you know, there's this part of you that's like, man, to reach that level, I can't imagine a greater satisfaction. Like that would make a person whole.
Yeah.
You know, let alone the Super Bowl. It's like, man, you'd be complete. And yet I'll let you share just that part of things, Chris.
Honestly, I felt the same way too. You know, you pour your whole life into this, every waking moment, your training, your mental capacity, your physical capacity is all training for that moment. And I think the crazy thing was, is the misconception, and my flesh pops back and forth at now, because a lot of times we identify with the things that we have, which are great, but a lot of times we flutter on that line of finding your identity in that. And you know, when we were able to win the first Super Bowl, you know, it's this exhilarating feeling. I mean, you poured your whole life in, and honestly, to win an NFL championship, you know, obviously never was a part of high level basketball or baseball or anything, but I can't imagine another sport that's so reliant on so many other people to all come together to do something. It has got to be the most difficult championship to win of all sports.
Yeah.
With baseball, it's a hitter and a pitcher, you know, and there's fielders. Yep. But it's kind of, you know, singleized to that. Basketball, it's one-on-one. You can have the Michael Jordans of the world that can dominate. Yep. In football, yeah, there's a guy that can dominate, but a quarterback has to throw it right to a receiver has to run it right, an offensive lineman has to protect for them, yada, yada, yada. I mean, there's so many pieces to a play that make it be successful. And I can remember all the hard work that everybody had put in and reaching that pinnacle and thinking, man, like, now I'll finally just be so fulfilled in my career. And after winning the first one, I can remember just being like, man, like I thought it would be a little bit more than this. And then you start thinking, well, man, you know, we have a really good team. We could probably go back to back and win two, you know, and you start realizing early in your life, and everybody can relate to this. I feel like whatever levels you're at or whatever blessings God is giving you in your life, when we try to find our substance in those things, they'll last for a little bit and they'll fade away. It's like me in college. I got that first car and it was like, man, I was driving around in that car for the first week and you couldn't tell me anything. You know? And windows were down on a nice, you know, first spring day. You know what I mean?
Do you remember your first car?
Oh yeah. I had an Acura, a little Acura TS, and a little Volkswagen Passat, you know? And boy, I thought I was so cool. But I was like, oh man, you know, like, and it lasts for a little bit and it fades away, or you get that job, or you get that promotion that you've been just straining and consumed for, and it lasts for a little bit and it fades away. Or you say, oh, I want to have X amount of dollars in my bank account. And then finally you reach it and you're like, well, maybe I could do this next.
Yeah.
Again, all those things in the right context are great things.
That's right.
But when they start to become what consumes you, that's really where, you know, you realize that, man, this stuff is you know, really, really meaningless and it's empty. And yeah. That's what I realized with the Super Bowl, because there's nothing greater than that. And there's nothing more that you can accomplish. There's nothing more that you can get. And I really realized in those moments, like, man, God, like, you're truly the peace and the hope that I'm searching for. You're truly the peace and the hope that really, truly gives me peace and consumes me. And these things can't consume me. And even yeah. though, yeah, we're supposed to work at everything with all of our heart and our mind and our souls working for the Lord, and we should do everything that we can to do everything to yes. be at our best, man, those things really don't satisfy. And time again in my own flesh, I've looked for satisfaction in those things and I've been failed by it. And it drives me closer and closer to the Lord, knowing that truly, you know, those things are really, you know, with Him are only going to be the things that matter and that are truly going to give me the peace that my heart longs for.
Man, that's so good. So Chris, I just been reading you about you ended up having an injury, which kind of brought to the end of things. And I think this can translate to any area of life. Was it hard to kind of lose a major piece of your identity? You know, like, and not just your identity, but your lifestyle, like just as far as like your routine, I'm talking, yep. and even just the camaraderie of the guys. Like, I think that's a huge loss as well. It's like, it's almost a loss. I felt like when I left college, it went from being easy to have friendships because they're always there, even if you don't want them there. Right. And so that's just a lot of layers of transition. I mean, you're kind of losing a lot of your life. Was that hard to wrestle with?
Yeah, Adam, very, very difficult. And again, the amazing thing about it is that our sin blinds us. My sin blinds me. And gosh, man, when you go through an injury like that, you really realize when you start peeling back those layers, man, I did identify too much with this or that.
Yeah.
Or these people, or as a football player, or whatever it was. And I'm like, man, Lord, like, there's a lot of areas where I've really fallen short. And I realize maybe that I have put these things at a little bit higher of a pedestal than what I should have. And maybe this is why it's so difficult, or the transition's harder, because those things are failing me. And I put a little bit too much trust in those things rather than putting more trust in you, which will never fail me. And I think I had to come to the realization pretty early on, and I'm still struggling through all that.
Oh, man. Yeah, absolutely.
It's been 3 years of surgeries and rehab every single day. Man, there's been nights where it's just been sleepless nights and
yep.
and you know, very tough mental moments and angers and bitternesses and all those things because of the injury. But I think more than anything that I really have to realize is that one big thing that really resonates in my life that the Lord's been just hammering at my heart is He's like, look, Chris, I've given you so many great things, and that's a blessing to steward those great things well, right? And to honor me with those great things and to draw more attention to my names by your story that really points nothing that I had to do with it. Me getting to college, to the NFL, to get to Wisconsin, to play as long as I did, to win Super Bowls, the most miraculous story you could ever think of that really you can't even think it's real, right?
Yeah.
And God saying, those things that I've given you can point nothing to you. It can only point to me and my goodness. And you need to steward the goodness of what I've given you for my glory. But more importantly, you need to steward the sufferings well that I've placed in your life. Because just like it's no coincidence of the great things that I placed in your life, there's no coincidence of the sufferings or the hardships or the adversity that I put in your life. And so in the same way that I would give you good things that you need to steward those well, there's some things in your life that you're going to walk through that are difficult that you're going to need to steward very well. And the only way that people identify with anything in life is, yeah, they identify with the good things, but man, talk about identifying with the difficult things. You know, I mean, can we identify with Jesus, you know, suffering on the cross, coming humbly in a manger, you know, being spat at and despised and going through the difficulty of what He did on the cross for us, man, I can identify with that. And you know what? God stewarded that difficulty and that suffering very well. Jesus did that very well. And you know what? There's a lot of people walking through a lot of hard things that God wants to meet them at. And maybe this knee injury is part of that, you know what? There's a lot of times I feel hopeless, and there's a lot of times where the enemy comes in and attacks mentally that, you know, are very difficult. But at the end of the day, there's a hope that we have in Jesus. And that's what hopefully this injury in my own life, and for maybe for other people, anybody that's listening through a difficult moment, man, there's hope in Jesus through the most hopeless situations. And believe me, there's been times where I've been non-weight bearing, where I couldn't walk for months and months and months and months and months at a time. And my wife had to bathe me, and you're sitting in your bed and you can't move and you feel so hopeless and you're discouraged and you're at the end of yourself. But you know what? The hope that there is in Jesus, that not only did he come and feel our same sufferings, but he overcame those. And with him, we can overcome those too. And that's what gives me the glimmer of hope to continue to press on through my difficulty.
Chris, I really appreciate you sharing that part of things. That's so true. A pastor that I have great respect for, Mark Batterson, when I talked with him not too long ago, he said, never trust a pastor without a limp.
Yeah.
And he basically said, like, you know, he was talking about I guess we can connect with people's successes and their, you know, all the highlights that they have. But the places we actually connect are in the pain and the brokenness and the suffering. Yep. And for me, those times have taught me so much more about the heart of God and made me depend so much more on Jesus. You know, it's moments that you don't wish on anybody, including your worst enemy.
Right.
And yet you can see God using them for so many good things. It's like, Lord, you had to address so many things in my life. And you were able to use this crap to do that. And I just really appreciate you sharing that. And I really can't imagine the identity piece of just that change. I mean, that's a drastic change, not just to your occupation, but to every kind of aspect of things. And I think if to some degree, all of us can connect and relate with that, whether it's losing a relationship, going through a divorce of some kind, losing a spouse, a loved one, a child. Like, there's just those moments where it's like, man, that just is a lot for me to process, a lot for me to handle.
Yep, exactly. Well, and you know, and Jesus confirms that, you know, he says, you know, in this world, you will face hardships.
Yeah.
Like, I have overcome the world. And it's not if we're going to go through anything, it's just when. I mean, yeah. We live in a broken world that is full of sin and brokenness, and we're not on the other side of the perfectness of heaven yet.
Yeah.
Man, like, we're going to walk through hard stuff. And the reality of it is that we got a couple of things that we can really rely on. We can rely on other people. We can rely on ourselves, which in some capacity, in small ways, maybe, yeah, God's given us those things to rely on. But man, ultimately, we have to rely on him, because we can't carry the burdens that life brings us on our own. We can't get through the difficulties that life brings and the sufferings that happen on our own. We can't do it. It's overwhelming. It's all consuming. And when we try to find the comfort of the things of this world to try to help us through those sufferings, they fail us. And that's why we're depressed, and that's why we're broken, and that's why we're hurting, and that's why we're have anxieties and all the things that come with the sufferings. But man, the Lord wants to take those things and take those burdens from us, for sure.
That's so, so good. I'm going to kind of shift things to wrap things up. Like, I want to talk about your podcast, and maybe this is the answer, is the podcast, but is there currently anything that you're excited about? And it could be anything personally, professionally, and we could talk about the podcast as well, but is there anything that's currently that you're like, man, I'm genuinely, and it could be the simplest thing ever.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, man, that's a great question. You know, honestly, I've had this knee injury since 2017, and we're in 2020 now.
So
it's coming up on 3 years, and I literally haven't been able to do anything. Haven't been able to work, haven't been able to speak, do things, anything. And so this podcast is really a way for us to share the message that we have and to share some sort of positivity and hope. And you know, for us, you know, Nick Foles and I, we've had a great relationship for a long time, and we've just really felt like in our world, in our day and age, there's a lot of content out there.
There is,
but there's just not a lot of quality and of substance within that content.
So good.
And we're like, you know what, man, we have such great conversations with each other. You know, I'm telling him, like, man, there's no way I can be used. I can't work. I can't do anything. I'm rehabbing my knee. Like, I got nothing to do. I'm sitting around. Like, I'm, you know, like, I got to find a way to be somewhat useful during this time. So we're like, you know what? Why don't we just start a nonprofit podcast that we can just share the truth and the realness of life in a world that is Instagram famous, your best Twitter pic, your best profile pic, the moment where you can catch the light on the beach just right in your picture. You know, I mean, hey, we all been there, you know, and we all know what it is. Or like, you know what? Like we're that's our culture is creating a wrong picture of life and really what it is. And I think that's why everybody's so sad, is because everybody feels like they can't quite measure up.
No doubt.
If we've been given a lot, why don't we talk about the realness of life? And so we just named the podcast Mission of Truth, Keeping It Real with Nick and Chris. And so that's what it is, man. We're on this podcast to talk about real life issues. We're on this mission of bringing truth to situations in the reality of what life is really like, apart from Twitters and Instagrams and Snapchat and whatever else, which in and of itself isn't the worst thing, but you know, again, like anything. And so we're like, man, we just want to talk real about stuff that we're going through in our lives and stuff that hopefully people can lean on and really hear the truth about.
And so it's legitimately you and Nick kind of talking back and forth. Do you bring guests? Do you bring guests on as well and share what they've looked like? Like who are they and that kind of thing?
Oh, it's been great. Yeah. So we started, we're kind of keeping up with the football theme. So the first six episodes are, we've entitled it the preseason, right? So it's just Nick and I, right? We're just talking about a slew of issues. We talk about our Super Bowl experience, what it's like the week leading up to Super Bowl, what actually happens, you know, I mean, a
deep Yeah.
Yeah, super cool. And then we talk about marriage. We talk about our own journeys of life, all that kind of stuff. And then we have then our season one, which we have 10 or 11 guests. And we have guests on like Tony Dungy, the Hall of Fame head coach. You know, we have Frank Reich, John Gordon, best-selling author.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Randy Elkhorn's going to come coming on talking about what's heaven going to be like. You know, everybody knows this idea of heaven. Is it harps and angels? You know, like, well, what is heaven really going to be like? Matthew Hasselbeck, you know, quarterback. And the list goes on. I want to name them all because they're so great. Matt Forte, the running back for the Bears. I mean, it just – we got a really great lineup of people that are really talking about real issues. And things that I think are really, really great conversations. And every one of them is an amazing thing. So it's been fun for sure.
That's pretty legit. Are you and Nick, like, using Zoom, like, when you go back and forth and stuff?
Yep, we're using Zoom. Bro, now look, man, look at him. We're like football players trying to do the radio thing. So it's you know, we're putting our best effort for it for sure.
No, that is awesome. Again, the podcast is called Mission of Truth. Make sure to go and subscribe to that. Chris, I really can't thank you enough. I also feel like I need to mention Jason Romano for connecting the two of us. Awesome. Just grateful for him and just the impact he's had. I just know on my own life and really just a connector. He's a guy that's just been so generous to me. And I know I'm not the only one on that equation too. But Chris, just grateful for you. And thanks for being the real deal and for willing to share the good, bad, and otherwise with us. But just honored that you'd sit down with me today.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, man. What a great time. And many blessings to you and your ministry and your life and your family.
Hey, Hannah Gronowski here, proud member of the Converge Podcast Network. Hey, I wanted to let you know that I have a brand new book coming out on September 15th called Generation Distinct, Discover the Wrong You Were Born to Make Right. This book is available at generationdistinct.com/book, on Amazon, or anywhere books are sold. This book is for you. The wild, the risky, the rebels.
Thanks for listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. You can find more from Adam Weber on Instagram and Twitter and at adamweber.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.